I had to go to the Blue Choice Hymns of the Faith songbook this morning. You remember that one? I couldn't find the little chorus that we used to sing in Sunday school all the time in any other books. So I ran over to, or I didn't run, but I drove over to the chapel this morning early, went up to the organist, and sure enough, she had one copy left over from the years ago gone by. The song was the one that we have often sung. It's called Dare to be a Daniel. And that's what I'm going to be kind of speaking on this morning, looking at the book of Daniel. And so I made a copy of the song because I started trying to sing it from memory, and I got halfway through, and it kind of left me. But think about this. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail the Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. How many remember that song? So you know enough to sing it with me, all right? We're going to sing it, all right? Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. And all the four stanzas all are good. You know, when I have my devotions in the morning, I enjoy looking at different devotional books along with the Word of God. We should never allow those other booklets to be the norm. The Word of God is what we should read every day. But they're also very helpful. Daily Bread, This Day in the Word for You, Days of Praise. There are different ones that are really good. And the Daily Bread puts out a really good one on the Psalms. And as I was reading it for the other day, it kind of struck a chord in my own heart and mind as I thought about all this week, what I was going to speak on down here this morning, talking about people of integrity, talking about people that have a character in their lives that it's obvious who they belong to. And I'd like to read this. It's based on, actually, from Psalm 15. It says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whole, the one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their hearts. It goes on to say this. In the first verse of Psalm 15, David asks what kind of person could live in God's holy presence. He answers his own question in verse 2 by saying, is one who walks is blameless. That is, a person of integrity. Some commentators say that the rest of the psalm describes in practical terms how such a person ought to live. And then he gives this illustration. It's written by David Enger. A young man I know about meets the psalmist's definition of integrity. Mike was his name. He was a college graduate with a degree in construction management and was trying to get started with a good company. He was delighted, therefore, when a local firm hired him. He enthusiastically went to work, eager to please his new employers, working hard day and night. However, it wasn't long before his supervisor was asking him to make some misleading statements to customers about materials and costs. And after a brief inner struggle, he shared his dilemma with his wife. And Mike and Alice, they prayed a lot about this, asking the Lord, what should they do? Well, it didn't take him long. The next day, Mike told his boss he would not lie to customers about supplies. And guess what? The very next day, he was laid off. He knew why. He also knew he would never be called back. Do we have the kind of rock-solid integrity that can stand the test of living honestly day by day? David said, if we do, we will never be shaken. Only by living on the level can anyone rise to the highest plane. I wonder how many times we've been tempted to compromise in our walk with the Lord. Perhaps do some things that we know that we shouldn't do. Pressure to perhaps change our beliefs, to compromise what we believe and hold to be dear to our hearts, but yet not willing to offend. When you're tempted to do something like that, It's always good to remind ourselves of examples in the Bible, men and women of character. And Daniel certainly was one of those individuals. We're looking at a story this morning. We're going to look at chapter 3, but what I want to do is give just a little bit of a summary of the book of Daniel, to kind of get the context of where he's coming from, especially those first six chapters. These are the chapters that we all know from our vacation Bible school days and our Sunday school days. And sometimes those things that are familiar to us, we tend to ignore sometimes. And so I like to be able to take a look at one of the chapters, in particular chapter 3, as we move our way through that. But let me just share a little bit about Daniel. So if you were to divide the book, you could divide it up into two major sections. Very easy. Daniel's life and Daniel's visions. Daniel's life is the first six chapters. Daniel's visions that he had composed the rest of the book. And speaking of visions, which we are not going to be getting into this morning, that whole section, it's a challenging part of Daniel's life and ministry as he deals with prophetic events. But he talks a lot about dreams that he had and visions. And I know that we have shied away from thinking of those things as being something that is even relevant for today. But I've changed my mind a little bit on that position because I've been reading. I've been a faithful prayer warrior. A good friend of mine, his name is Dick Papworth. Dick Papworth is a missionary to Iran. Used to live in there for 6 years. He and his wife labored there until they were ousted by the Shah, or by the overthrow of the Shah of Iran in 1979. But he has developed a radio ministry that reaches all across the Persian world. And through satellite, through all kinds of multimedia facets. And people are being reached with the gospel. And he's come to the conclusion that there have been many, many confirmed testimonies of men and women who, because of a vision that they had of the Lord Jesus, came to put their faith and trust in him. And I think sometimes we want to lock our God in a box and say that he can't maneuver outside of that box at all. I do believe that the scriptures are our final voice of authority. There's no need for further revelation. The word of God is sufficient for all things. But I think God is sovereign enough that he may move in different ways in different times and epochs. And there are literally thousands of Iranians, thousands, coming to faith in Christ and leaving Islam because of their disillusionment with that religion and the warfare and the hatred and the murders and so on and so forth. And they have met Christians. They have met believers who have radiated the love of Christ in their hearts and lives. And they tell their testimony of how that one night they just had a vision of the Lord speaking to him and says, you need to come to know me as my Savior, as your Savior. And I will never downplay that, realizing that is certainly possible today in the day and age in which we live. But Daniel had some major themes that he was trying to get across to the people of his day. And I listed them down here so I wouldn't forget them. I wrote them down here on a piece of paper. The mega themes and some of the key phrases that we find in this particular book. One of the themes is that God is one who is in control. God is in control. God is all-knowing, and he is in charge of all of the world events that we see. He overrules and removes rebellious leaders who defy him. And God will overcome evil. No one is exempt, but he will deliver the faithful who follow him. Why is that important? Well, we see today that nations vie for world control now. But one day Christ's kingdom will replace and surpass the kingdoms of this world. I've been reassured, even myself, in going through these chapters this past week, that our faith is secure because our future is secure in Jesus Christ. We must have the courage and put our faith in a God who controls everything. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God is in control of our lives. I want him to be in control of my life. I don't want to run my life on my own. And I look back over how God has directed our lives in Christian service as provided for our needs. And I'm just so thankful that he gave me that desire years ago, not to try to control things myself, not to try to bring things about in my own power or my own ingenuity, my own planning, but to trust the Lord that He would work things out just as He's going to do in our life this coming year as we go through this transition period of refocusing in our service for the Lord. I don't know what the future holds, but I know what's the rest of it. Who holds the future? And we can place ourselves in His hands. What better hands to be put in under than the hands of our Savior, who's in touch with His God and Father. We're double secure. We don't have to ever lose that sense of security and the fact that He is one in control. Another mega theme that comes through these chapters is the importance of having a purpose in life. We sang about it in the song in that first stanza. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's commands. Daniel and his friends, his companions, were individuals that were cut above. The bar was high. And they were able to be examples of dedication, examples of commitment. Two words that I've highlighted in my thoughts this past week. Dedication and commitment. Who are we dedicated to? Where is our resolve? Where is our commitment to serve the Lord Christ and to be a blessing to many, many others in the process of doing so? These three individuals, or four, including Daniel, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they determined to serve God regardless of the consequences of their actions. They did not give in to peer pressure from others or from those in an ungodly society. Why? Well, because they had a purpose in life. They had a purpose in life. Paul had a purpose. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. One thing I have a desire, that will I reach after. He had a desire in his life to honor Christ, to pursue Him. Even though he knew Him well, he wanted to know Him even more. And that's what I was challenged about when I mentioned in the Breaking the Bread service this morning. I wish I could remember, maybe Craig remembers, if he gets Chuck Ebron's. It's not a newsletter, it's a prayer letter. It's not even a prayer letter either, it's a devotional letter. And he has a little title for it. The challenge is that you capture the thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ during the course of the week. So that when you come to the table of moments, that's what it is, it just came to me, table of moments. You come to the table on Sunday morning with your moments of reflection, your moments of meditation upon the Word of God. And I'm going to take this off, getting a little warm up here. And it's just helped me to stay focused on what the Lord does in our lives day by day and to be recommitted to Him each step of the way. It's important. It's wise to make trusting and obeying God alone one's true purpose in life. This will give us direction and peace in spite of the circumstances that we may be going through. Sometimes life throws a curve at us, as it were. Sometimes we're not always ready for what lies ahead. Sometimes an illness comes on you suddenly and you're taken back by it all. I was all set to go up to camp last summer, all ready to go. I was all fired up. The day before camp started, I ended up in the hospital for about a week with AFib. You know what AFib is? Something to do with the heart. Put me out of commission for the rest of the summer. Man, was that frustrating? I'm all set to go to camp. Got my messages all ready. I got my candy dish filled. I got my treasure chest filled. Everything's ready to go. And then the setback. Well, my wife has helped me to understand that sometimes these things happen. She asked me, she said, just ask the Lord. Ask the Lord why He's putting you aside for the time being. You're going to get better. You'll be out of here soon. But why is it now? And just to, you know, come to the Lord and ask for His guidance and His help and His patience through these trials that come our lives, that come our way. So purpose in life. And then the last one is perseverance. Perseverance. We read that Daniel served for something like 60 years, 70 years in total, but 60 years he served four different kings. He persevered in what he did. He accomplished great things during that time through God's help. And as I thought about that number, 60 years, I'm not sure how many of you get Precious Seed magazine. It's awesome. I think if you want something deep, a little more challenging, a little more meaty, It's not fluff, but it's written by the brethren in England. And I love one part of their magazine is on an autobiography of some important, famous Christian individual. And this one, this week or this month's issue, had an article on Sir Robert Anderson. I'm not sure if that name sounds familiar to you. He wrote a very famous book called The Coming Prince. And he was, for 60 years in his life, he was dedicated to his profession, which was working in government. He would rub shoulders, as it were, with the prime minister. He was a very influential person, but a godly Christian man who identified with the assemblies for a good part of his life, although not fully. He ended up going back to the church that he grew up in and got saved in, the Presbyterian Church, but he identified with the assemblies in many, many ways. But for 60 years, he was faithful to his God in his witness, in his convictions, and never wavered. I'm sure he must have made some mistakes along the way because no one is perfect. None of us are. We can never reach perfection this side of glory. But we should strive towards that. We should want to be perfect, fully mature in our lives and free from making a lot of mistakes that we should have learned lessons of a long time ago. I'm still learning some lessons that I should have learned years ago, and I'm still struggling with success in certain areas. But the Lord gives help as we persevere in our faith and in our walk with Him. But for 70 years, Daniel served in a foreign land with hostile people. It wasn't a friendly environment for the most part. Yet he did not compromise his faith. And I listed three things here that sort of stand out as far as his character is concerned. And we've gone over some of them already. First of all, he was truthful to his word, truthful to the scriptures. He didn't renege on the promises that he made, and he looked to God for the success in his implementing those promises, but he was truthful. They could not find any fault with him. You remember when they tried to examine his life to see if they could find some fault for being able to discipline him and put him in with the lion's den. And they could not find anything. They could not find any fault, except that he prayed three times a day. And that was against the law at that time. But he was faithful in his habits and truthful in all that he did. He was persistent in prayer. He was a man of prayer. I thank the Lord that the Lord gave me a godly wife. She's really been great to keep me on the right track as far as prayer each morning. She and I faithfully meet each morning together downstairs in the living room. And we have our devotions together and we have prayer together. I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. It's been a real help to me to just persevere in prayer. I hope if you're not doing that with your partner or with your, you know, people that are special to you in your life, that you get into the habit of praying together with someone else. We met together for prayer with a couple of guys this morning. It's just so meaningful and so helpful in our lives as believers. I'm always impressed that over CMML, every day they meet at 10 o'clock for devotions and prayer and go through the missionary prayer handbook. And by the way, I need those missionary prayer handbooks. Does anybody have them here for Kenilworth? I'm still waiting on them. I got people clamoring to get the new books and they can't, but they're out, right? Yeah, I think Mike forgot to take them out of the trunk last week, so I'll have to get them from some other time. Get into the habit of using that missionary prayer handbook. It's a good tool. But if you look at his life, there was no interest in personal glory. He was content to see and serve the Lord God and just leave the blessings that came to God to shower upon him. He didn't persevere for glory, for prestige, for power, recognition. And, you know, that pride gets in the way sometimes. In chapter 4, you read about Nebuchadnezzar's prideful fall. He gives his glory and praise in chapter 3 when he's acknowledging the one true God, verses chapter 1. And yet in chapter 4, he falls to pride, and he falls right back into old habits again. Pride is a terrible thing to be in our lives as believers. And it's really important that we are content just to serve the Lord God. Daniel's life and ministry bridged the entire 70-year period of the Babylonian captivity. How many deportations do you think there were in those days? We think about deportation today taking place with people being sent back to Mexico and Latin America. There were three major deportations during Daniel's early days. He was the first deportation. He was one of the select few, one of those chosen choice individuals selected by Nebuchadnezzar to bring them back to Babylon to help them in their kingdom there. And Daniel becomes a very important person. He becomes God's prophetic mouthpiece to the Gentile and Jewish world at that time. And God used him in a very unique and wonderful way. Turn over to chapter 3. Let's work our way through this particular chapter quickly this morning. Then I want to look at some timely lessons we can learn from his life. If you're looking at chapter 3, put down some of these key words. These are words that would help us to be men and women of great commitment. I have these phrases written at the top of my Bible. Courage to stay true. A bold faith. This is what I spoke on at our chapel a couple weeks ago. We're going through the Old Testament, different kinds of faith. And the title that was given to me was a bold faith. An outspoken faith. No room for compromise. Taking a stand. Doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Trusting God when perhaps things don't look so good. Recognizing that God is there. He will not leave us or forsake us. God can save us out of the trouble that we may be in, or he can be with us through the trouble. But in either case, he's with us day in and day out. In this chapter, you read about a king. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. And he pretty much caught up with himself. And certainly he was full of arrogance and full of pride. He had a statue that was built in his honor. Anybody know how tall that thing was supposed to be? Do you remember? 90 feet tall. 90 feet. I can't believe that. 90 feet and 9 feet wide. Try to imagine something as huge as that, built in your honor. A bust of you, a body image of you. And people were commanded to bow down and worship this graven golden image. What a waste. And yet sometimes we do things to try to bring attention to ourselves. And God wants us to be just humble servants, just serving him faithfully, serving him out of love and compassion for him, and not looking for recompense, not looking for acknowledgement. However, be willing to give acknowledgement once in a while. Be willing to give encouragement to others. The scriptures are full of one another's, of encourage. The reason I say that is because I'm dealing with a dear brother and a sister. Both of them have the same conviction. And their conviction is that if you go to encourage them, they say, stop. I don't want to hear any of that right now because if I hear from you, I'll lose my reward in heaven. I said, what? Does she really believe that? I said, no, I just want to encourage you that you're doing a good job. Keep up the good work. That's all. And if anything I can do to help, I'll be glad to help. You know, no, I don't want to hear it. No, don't. So I don't think that's a healthy way to approach it. If someone needs encouragement, needs a word of uplifting, maybe you could be the one to come alongside, put your arm around somebody and just say, hey, I noticed I heard your comments last week at the Berkeley, but they were really good. They really drew our attention to the Lord. Our brother gave an exhortation this morning to more men take part, you know, and just to share. And maybe encourage people that way. But don't be afraid of giving encouragement, but don't live for it. Don't expect. I had a nice compliment paid. I was at Ed Gray's funeral last Monday. He just turned 90, and he was with his wife Lois, and who should be there but Ron Rind. You know Ron Rind? Ron Rind and Linda are Rutherford Chapel, and he's from Christian Service Brigade, and he's doing the same thing that I'm going through right now. He's refocusing, he's retiring and stepping aside from Brigade. And I said, yeah, I'm going through the same thing as well. And then he made this comment that out of the blue, and I don't say this to boast, but it was a great encouragement to me. He said, no one's going to be able to replace you. You're irreplaceable. I said, and all of a sudden the head, oh, yeah, well, maybe so. No, I didn't. I had to fight those. I mean, he meant that. He says, you're just one of a kind. So that encouragement, just buoyed me on. It just buoyed my spirits. It just lifted me up, you know, because you get down once in a while in the Christian life. And every once in a while, someone says something that just might be an encouragement to you along the way. Well, this king ordered all the leaders to a special dedication service, and he commanded each one to bow down. He wanted their worship. He wanted their recognition. And everyone evidently must have bowed down except Daniel and his friends. And they refused to do so. They were captives in Babylon, and they knew the one true God. They had put their faith in the one true God who made heaven and earth. It's the same one who made us. He made us. He created us in his own image. Yes, sin marred that picture, that perfect relationship that we had in the Garden of Eden, but we belong to him. We're his child. And he wants us to honor him by lives of obedience. And these three men were God's children too, and they exhibited behavior that was exceptional. They refused to worship this golden image. We will not bow down. And he probably, they quoted from the Old Testament in Exodus 20 and Matthew chapter 4, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And because of their stand, because of taking a stand, we see in verses 8 through 15 that the king offered them one more chance to repent, one more chance to change their mind. And they still refused. I wonder how many people today have given in to the pressure to change one's convictions. I think of our persecuted church around the world today. I think of the undue pressure that many of them must be going through to recant, to renounce their faith. How can we even think about renouncing our faith and our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ after all he's done for us? How can we do less than give him our very best? That includes our loyalty, our allegiance, our dedication to him, in spite of what may happen to us. I was talking to a brother recently, and he's convinced that sometime within our lifetime, we're going to see a little more persecution in our country, more than we're accustomed to. The persecution that we experience now, for the most part, is being ostracized, ridiculed, maybe made fun of, maybe not getting that promotion that we wanted. But there might be coming a day when we also will have to suffer physically for our faith in Christ. And these three were about ready to be thrown into a fire that took the lives of many of the soldiers that are following the commandment of the king, and make that hotter. And you know the story, how that the soldiers taking them, throw them in there, were burned. And Daniel and his friends, even though they never recanted, and God spared them, their lives were saved as a result. What a testimony that must have been. What a testimony that must have been for them. The king even said, who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? The king made that boast. It was a challenge to their belief in the power of God. I have down here what courage it would take to stand for God in this desperate situation. As a believer, we need to let God give us the courage to make a bold stand in our faith. And I'm sure that many of you are. This means speaking up for what God's word teaches and refusing to be involved when other people are doing things that are wrong. I look back at regret in my high school years when I didn't really live for the Lord, about a year and a half. And then the thing that God had to use to break me was, and bring me back to himself, was that I began to change in some of my convictions. And I wasn't really an outspoken Christian when I was 16, 16 and a half, 17 years of age. It was a difficult time in my life. And I picked up some bad habits along the way, one of which was taking things that didn't belong to me, especially during break time. I used to do what everyone else did at break time. They'd go down the aisle, all the high school kids. I was a high school kid. You go down the aisle and get your Twinkies and your can of Coke, and you'd walk up to the aisle as if you were going to pay for it, you know? And you stand in the aisle and you look and the boss is not around, you just sort of turn around and go downstairs. You don't pay for it. Everyone else was doing it, so I thought I'd do it too. Well, the boss saw me, and he came down the stairs after me. He came over to me, and a big old Irishman, Mr. O'Malley was his name. He says, son, did you pay for that? Well, yeah, I lied. He said, well, let me see your receipt. Oh, I must have dropped it coming down the stairs, you know. One thing led to another. He said, no, we've been watching. We heard that some things were going on, and we don't like what we saw, so you're fired. I don't want to see you around here again. You can go right now. Talk about a low point in my life, but God used that to break me, to get me back on the right track again, to confess that to the Lord, to do away with these habits that I'd come up with that were just rebellious habits that were dishonoring to God. That was his choice, his way of getting my attention. And it was a hard lesson to learn. But I think of the pressure that these guys were under, Daniel and his three friends, the pressure to compromise, the pressure to not have a bold faith, to be not courageous. God sometimes has to get our attention in various ways. Sometimes persecution comes of our own making. Sometimes persecution comes because of God allowing it to happen, even though we never intended it to be that way. We need to stand firm for him. Well, we know the end of the story in chapter 3. If you go through the rest of the chapter here, when the three men calmly refused to bow, as they were told to do, the enraged king had him thrown into the furnace. His soldiers were killed in the process, but as King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, he was amazed. Verse 24 and verse 25. He was amazed to see four men, not three, walking around in the fire. Some believe that was a pre-incarnate person of the Lord Jesus Christ, or others believe it was an angel sent from God who provided them protection and gave them the courage to stand firm no matter what was said about them. I think of that verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. And that's what these men were doing. They were being strong in the might that God had given to them. When the king called these three men to come out of the furnace and saw that their bodies were completely untouched by the fire, what did he do? Well, he had a change of heart. It was quite impressive. He, at that time, acknowledged their God as the Most High God, verses 26 and verses 27. But you go to chapter 4, and it doesn't last very long. He soon was back on his old ways again. But dishonoring the true God would now be punishable by death. He made this promise. If you're going to worship the one true God, we need to worship Daniel's God. He is the one true God. And yet he himself did not honor that in days to come. And the king promoted these three young men to positions of honor, verse 30. See, God honored the courage of these three young men that they showed by standing for him. And God will honor us in the same way if we stand in courage for him. I wrote down several lessons that I see from Daniel that we could just summarize this. I've got it written in the back of my Bible here in chapter 9. Timeless lessons I have for the children, for children from Daniel and for all of us. Things that we could impart to our own kids, our Sunday school kids, as well as in our own personal walk with the Lord. Number one, when others challenge what you believe, and you are asked to compromise, do what pleases God, and he will take care of you. We see that in chapter 1, in verse 8, that very famous verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In verse 17, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding all visions and dreams. These are things that were taking place in Daniel's life as he continued to serve him for those 60 years there. And be careful to give God the credit for when he uses you. We talked about not taking personal credit for our own accomplishments. And when others try to force you to turn from God, remain faithful to him. Remember, God has the power to deliver us from any danger that we may face. And a vital one here is what God values most in our life is not so much our ability, not so much our talent, not so much our unique personality What he values most in our lives is our faithfulness to him and our willingness to obey his word. He says that's kind of like Christianity 101. Yes, it is. But it's what I need to be reminded of, to be faithful to him and have a willingness in my heart to obey his word. And when you are faithful in your testimony before others, they will observe God working in your life. And they will recognize that there is a God in heaven who takes care of his own. Verse 16 of chapter 6 is one of my favorite verses. Chapter 6 and verse 16. I get that right there. Chapter 6 and verse 4. My place. I'm trying to find that one verse I was looking at. Chapter 6, I think it is verse 16. Chapter 6, verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, here it is, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. That's a promise we can take to the bank. We can promise the promise that God gives to us. He will either get us through the delivery by delivering us, or he will give us the help that we need to endure what he's trying to teach us. Faith is believing in God's promises and showing your belief in action. And God promises a bright future to those who wisely obey him and influence others towards godliness of life. Let me read the stanzas again of that song. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his host defy, shout and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Don't be afraid to step out in faith. Take that bold step of faith and exhibit your faith in a God who loves you, who cares for you, and has your best interest at heart. And he wants you to be committed to him. He wants you to be faithful to him. It's so sad to see people who renege on their faith. We're dealing with a situation right now, a friend who doesn't attend our fellowship, but someone that we all know up there, and a young man, really, who just couldn't take the pressure anymore. A lot of issues in his life, a lot of pressures, and we learned just a few days ago that he decided to take his life. He's gone. Left the wife, three kids. His faith was weak. He didn't reach out for help, and tragedy struck. It's really sad. And I just pray that, you know, all of us in our lives would each day recommit our lives to him, our walk, that we'll stay close to him, reach out, ask for help if help is needed, stay true to him. And he's there for us night and day. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So that's the lesson that I have from Daniel today. It's just a little short, simple story of three young men who took a stand. And we're honored by God for that. And we know later in the chapter there were the lion's den situation and other instances in which Daniel proved himself faithful. We're going to have our ups and downs. We're going to have times when we disappoint the Lord. And yet, it doesn't have to stay that way. We get back on the right track and live for him. He's coming soon. The time is short. We want our lives really to be counting for him. Let's close in word of prayer. And I think we have a closing hymn. Okay. Do you sing first and then pray? Or? Okay. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just take a glimpse into your word. We thank you, Lord, for the stand that these four men took in those earlier days. We think of 60 years of serving in a foreign government and yet maintaining a testimony that was outstanding. We know that they were recognized by their God. There is a God in heaven, Nebuchadnezzar would say. So I thank you, Lord, that you brought these people into positions of influence. They had a bold faith. They were willing to take a stand. They were courageous. They were not compromising their faith. We just pray, Lord, that we might be true of these things as well. And maybe the majority of us are. And yet we have to be careful that we take heed lest we fall. So, Lord, help us to stay close to you, to be in your word each day, have that desire that is so strong to obey your word and to love one another. So pardon us with your blessing and pray that the words of this last song might penetrate our hearts as well. And we give you our thanks and our praise and our worship today. In your name, amen.